There's three stages in marriage, and I want to talk to you about those three stages. And we find them here in the first family, Adam and Eve. And most of you's probably in the second stage. Might be a handful of us tonight in the third stage. And there's some folks in the first stage. Some of you haven't reached any stage, but you're heading in that direction. And you'll need to know about the truths from God's Word about marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. I'm glad that God ordained marriage. I'm glad that God looked and He saw that it was not good that man should be alone. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We find in Genesis chapter 2, three first for sure. We find in verse number 7, the first human. The Bible says, the Lord God formed the man, or man, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the first human. And then we find the first helpmeet. We find the first helpmeet when God said that it's not good that man should be alone in verse number 18. He said, I will make him an helpmeet for him. And we know that God did that when He put Adam to sleep and He took a rib from his side. And then we find in verse number 24, the first home. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And Adam and Eve became a home of their own. Amen. God brought them together and He sanctioned their marriage and their home. And I'm thankful that God does that. Now, we can learn some things from this first family, and I want to talk with you about some truths that we can learn. The first stage of marriage, I think, is found in the scripture that Pastor David read to you in verses 18 through 25. It's the endearment stage. It's kind of what we call in our society, we call it the honeymoon. And you say, well, preacher, I'm still on my honeymoon. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Honeymoons last longer for some than they do others. And I don't know how long you've been married. I believe you can keep the honey in the honeymoon. I believe that. Amen? It's up to you. Let's look at some things about the honeymoon stage, okay? We find where God looked down, and there's some great truths to be learned here. I don't see where Adam went to God and said, God, I want you to make me a woman. You know, I want a mate. I want you to make somebody for me. God looked at Adam and said, it's not good. God knows, and God knows when you are ready. God knew that Adam was ready. That's right. And He said, okay, the time has come. In verse number 18, the scripture says, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him. So not only did God initiate that, but God chose who Adam was going to marry. By the way, God will choose who you marry too if you'll let Him. Say, I'm not going to let God. That's all right. You're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. I won't mess up. Yeah, I know. All those before you didn't either. That's why they're living in misery and their life's on the rocks. Right? Because they wouldn't listen. So I want you to listen now. The Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. So God not only determined that it was time for the man to get married, God determined who the man was going to marry. That's a great truth that our young generation really needs to get a hold of. Let God choose your mate. Say, well, I'm looking for the right one. Remember what we said now. You be the right one. That's your responsibility in that. You be the right one, and God will send the right one. I just believe that on the authority of the Bible. I believe that. And so God created a thirst, a desire in Adam. He brought him the beasts of the field, and Adam began to notice that they all had mates. They all had companions, and he didn't have one. And verse number 20, the latter part of it said, Adam, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse number 21, we have a beautiful picture of the church, and in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul addresses what really takes place here when God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and stood thereof. Now, someone has said, there's an old Jewish proverb that says that that's why man feels incomplete until he marries, because he's missing his rib. He's searching for his rib. Get his rib back. And when he marries, he's complete because the woman completes the man. And I think that there's a great truth to that. I really do. That when you get married, it just kind of completes your life. I find it very interesting. And this is a whole nother message. It's a whole nother thought. But as I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, how that God said in verse number 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be, now look at that next word, alone. And yet God was fellowshipping with Adam. We know that because what happened when Adam and Eve, when God went, after they partook of the fruit, of the forbidden fruit, when God went to fellowship with them in the garden in the cool of the day, it was something that was a normality that had been taking place. And yet here, God said, it's not good that man should be alone, which means that though God was in companionship with Adam and they were in fellowship with one another, there's a great need for us to be in fellowship with each other as human beings. That's why the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. You say, well, you know, I'm going to isolate myself. Well, you can do that, and God will allow you to do that, but I don't think that's healthy at all. Now, I do think it's very important that we're careful in who we allow within the circle. I have to be very careful. There's just some people that's not good for you. And there's just some people that's not good for me. And we have to have the insight and the wherewithal to know who to allow within that circle, who's going to bring us down and who's going to take us away from the things of God and take us away from the things that we ought to be. And God will give you wisdom in that. That's a whole nother thought. So here is this initial stage. Adam and Eve, they came together, and here they were happy, they were in a home, they were in a relationship together. And then some things began to happen that caused them to phase out of this phase, this stage, this initial stage in their marriage. Now, what were they? I think that they're happening today. They're inevitable. That doesn't mean that you can't overcome them, and you should, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's look at a few things. The first thing that I see here is after they were in this stage, they left God out. Now, God, in verse number 16, look at it. In chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God had commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So here was God's command to the man. Man comes to the woman, and God holds the man accountable to share this. Don't know that God ever shared this with Eve. I don't know. Possibly did, possibly didn't. I know that Adam should have. I know that God held Adam accountable, because in Romans chapter 5, God said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And Paul in the book of Corinthians said that it was by man that all of the human race was plunged under condemnation into sin. And so God had given them some guidelines. God had given them some things that they could do and they couldn't do. And when you get into chapter 3, we know what happens. In verse number 6, the Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She did what God said not to do. She left God out. Well, God said this. Well, I'm not going to do what God said, basically. Right? And then the Bible says that she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And so they left God out. Now, this is what really begins to hurt marriages. They come together, they're united together, and God has brought them together. He's blessed that union. And he said, this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it should be. I will bless you. He sanctions, he places his blessing upon the home and upon the marriage. And then for whatever reason, temptation came and Eve did not do what God said do. And that's going to happen in your marriage. It's already happened. It's going to happen in my marriage. We're not going to do what God said to do. And by the way, the man could have said, I'm not going to do that. Adam could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. But he allowed his wife to lead. And it cost him. And it cost us. Amen. And so they left God out. Don't leave God out. Don't leave God out of your marriage. You say, well, I'm just going to have just enough of God in it to look religious. No, you're going to mess up. Listen, make God the central part of your marriage. Say amen with me, folks. Some of you younger folks really need to take inventory here. You really need to understand this. Your life is going to be in shambles. You're going to be a wreck. The devil only shows you the front side. Listen to me. He only shows you the front side. I don't believe that. Yeah, I know. You believe the devil. Listen to me. There's far more. It's just a shame that there's just as many divorces in the church house as there is in the world. It's a shame. Why is that, preacher? Because we're leaving God out. We're thinking we can do it. And we can't do it without God's help. And so they left God out. Number two, when they left God out, they lost that something special. Now see, God had blessed them. And I want you to look at the way chapter 2 ends. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. See, they had this special glory covering, and they had this special relationship. Sin had not entered into the picture. But they left God out, and they lost that something special. Look, after they disobeyed God, look in verse number 7. The Bible says, the eyes of both of them were open, chapter 3 now, verse number 7, and they knew that they were naked. You see, they lost that something special. See, when we leave God out, we lose that something special in marriage. Marriage is ordained of God. Would to God that once and for all we could get this. You can go down to the justice of the peace, or you can stand and have a preacher to recite the vows and lead you in that. But if you leave God out of your marriage, listen to me, there's going to be a loss of something that is special about the marriage relationship. And here they lost it. The scripture says in verse number 7 that the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. And you know what they did? They began to sew fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. And then you can read in verse 8, 9, and 10 where God came to fellowship with them. And they were just out of place. They were running and hiding, ducking and dodging. And that's no way to have a marriage. They were living in fear. They were afraid and hiding. And it's just not a way to live. So what was a beautiful union, a time of rejoicing, and God placed his blessing upon them and said, you're now one. He approved that union. They left God out. Now, let's not leave God out of our marriages. All right? Let's not leave God out. When you leave God out, you lose that something special. You just do. See, I've been married long enough to know a few things, and I hope that you have. If you have been married long enough to realize some things, you'll realize some of these things. God makes me a better husband. My wife will tell you, but she doesn't have to tell. I know this. God makes me a better husband, a sweeter husband, a more caring husband. See, I need God to help me to be a good husband. I can't be a good husband. You say, well, a man can be a good husband without God. Can't be as good as he could with God. Amen. God makes my wife a better wife. Amen. And we need to understand God makes us better. God makes us better. And so Adam and Eve lost that. They lost that something special. They lost it. You know, I believe when a man's walking with God, I believe that a man will show chivalry to his wife. I just believe he will. I believe that he will honor her as the weaker vessel, the way this book teaches that he's to honor her as the weaker vessel. I believe that a woman, when she's right with God, when she's walking with the Lord, she'll submit herself unto her own husband. And that the husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church. The way this book teaches when we're walking with God. That's why we don't want to leave God out of our marriage. We lose that something special. When a man's in this book, when he doesn't leave God out, he takes the spiritual headship of the home. He's not too busy to spend time with his wife and children. Amen. He's not too busy. You see, his wife and his family are a priority. When a man's walking with God, he knows what his priorities are. When I get away from God, when you get away from God, our priorities begin to get mixed up. And we lose sight of what really matters in life. Because God helps us keep perspective. And as long as we have perspective, we can do that which is right according to the Word of God. But when we lose that, when we veer and when we get away from God, we begin to do that which is right in our own eyes, and that's a dangerous thing to do. And so here was Adam and Eve in this initial stage, this endearment stage, and they began to drift from it. And it happens in every marriage. Now you say, oh, preacher, it won't happen to me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. There's going to come problems in your marriage. All we need is love. That's what that song said, preacher. You better have more than a song. Amen. It's going to take the whole armor of God. You mean for my spouse? No, for that devil that's trying to get you and pitch you against your spouse. You're going to find out some things about your spouse that you're going to need the whole armor of God for. That's right. It's real. And so the endearment stage. One more thing. They look to greener pastures. Now you think about this. Here's Adam and Eve. And this happens to every young couple. And by the way, some people never grow out of it. It's middle-aged elderly couples. They had it all. They had it all. They were married in the Garden of Eden. Amen. They had everything. And the only thing that God said, don't you touch, that's what she went after. That's what you call looking to greener pastures. You say, no, preacher, I haven't gone to greener pastures. Well, let me tell you how the devil does this. The devil will get your eyes on another couple, maybe right here in this fellowship, and say, you know what? Don't you wish you had it like they had it? They've got it made. Can I tell you there's no family in here that has it made? That family's perfect. There's no family in here perfect. That family doesn't have any problems. There's no such thing as that. See, that's the devil lying to you. That's all he does. He's the father of lies. That's all he does is lie. And he wants you to think that everyone else has got it so good and you're struggling and you're barely making it. And boy, if my marriage was just like theirs, if my children were like theirs, if my way of life was like theirs, if I had a job like he had a job, if I was this, if I were that, if I could be, we could be like them. No, God made you who you are. Enjoy it, amen. Amen. Enjoy being who you are. God made you the way you are. Enjoy that. Don't let the devil turn your eyes to others and start looking on them and saying, you know, if you only had that. Isn't that what happened here? That's what happened here. He took Eve to the tree and he said, look at there. Why doesn't God want you to have that? Why doesn't God want you to have it like they have it? Right? They looked to greener pastures. Now, here's three steps that will take you out of the honeymoon stage. I hope you wrote them down. Number one, they left God out. Don't you leave God out now. You say, now, preacher, I'm in church tonight. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But there's phases in our life and there's times in our life that we're tempted not to get wisdom from God and tempted not to spend time in the book and see what God says about some things. And we'll veer, we'll move away from God. God help us not to do that, especially when it comes to our homes and our marriages. It's important. Hey, if you have children in the home, I encourage you. You call your family around the Word of God on a regular basis and share some scripture and have prayer with your family. It's important. It's important. Dad, this is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Don't you hand that to your wife now. This is your responsibility. You're the leader of your family. You're the spiritual leader of your home. You get that Bible out and you call your family together and you share scripture and you have prayer with those children and your wife. It's important. It really is. You say, preacher, it's like a circus when I try to do that. Oh, I know. I know. It can be. But those can also be some of the sweetest times, and you can really get a good read on your family. It's just it can be a good time. That can be very, listen, you can end up getting in the flesh trying to be spiritual. Hey, man, how many dads know what I'm talking about? You know, I said, get over here. We're going to read the Bible. Amen. Amen. You know, it's time to pray. You know, yeah, it can happen. It's happened to me more than once. Trying to be spiritual, end up getting in the flesh and having to repent because I was trying to do the right thing. But you know what? You can't quit. You can't quit. You have to keep doing it because you know that it's your place. It's what your family needs. You need to get together around God's Word. So, they left God out. They lost that something special. And they began to look to greener pastures. And it took them into another phase. Let me read it to you. Turn over to chapter number 3 now. In chapter number 3, look down if you would in verse number 16 of chapter 3. And to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. What's happening here? Well, the honeymoon's over. You go from the endearment stage, now listen to me, to the adjustment. You're going to have to make some adjustments. Different way of life for them now. They're no longer in the garden. You listening? That magic bubble, so to speak, has been bursted. Or as we say down south, busted. All right? Well, it's not the same now. Yeah. There's always consequences for leaving God out. And Adam and Eve had some choices to make. They did. The hard times came. And Adam realized, man, I'm going to have to be doing this a long time. God said, you're going to do it. You came from the dust, and you're going to do it. You're going to work by the sweat of your brow to provide for your family until you go back to the dust. I bet he was thinking, man, this could be a long time. Right? See, some of these things begin to kind of dawn on us and kick in. After we get married and the honeymoon's over and life settles in, and we begin to face this thing called reality. And we find out that all you need is love is just a song. That's right. You need some help from God above. You need some power on the inside from the Holy Spirit. You need some wisdom from the Word of God to work a job and to come home to a wife and to raise your kids and to be a spiritual leader and to have your family in church and to get involved in the church. Listen, you're wearing a lot of hats and you're juggling a lot of balls. And I mean, hey, it can become overwhelming sometimes. A lot of people do not make it out of this stage right here, and I want you to listen to me. Oh, preacher, we got this down. Yeah, a lot of folks said that just before they got a divorce. Well, now Christians don't get divorces. Is that right? Not good ones. Oh, now I beg your pardon. Might ought to research that. See, there's no one exempt from what's taking place here. Adam and Eve were perfect. And they had a great environment. They had the picture-perfect marriage. And they left God out, and they lost that something special, and they looked to greener pastures, and then some things begin to kind of close in on them, and here it is. Eve found out, you know, having children, you know, those precious little babies, they're so sweet. And then she had one, and whoa. Huh? Yeah. And Adam's out working in the field, and boy, I tell you, reality set in, didn't it? Is that what happened? Now, what are we to learn from this? What are we to learn from this right here, from this instance, from going in the garden, the honeymoon stage? Sin sets in. Reality sets in. And now God's saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to have to work. Now, I want to say something here, and I want you to listen to me. If you think that your marriage is going to be all that it could be and should be for God without you making some adjustments and without you meeting her halfway, now listening, consigning to some things, right? Conceding, without you working, going to have to work it out. Going to have to work through some things. That's right. It's not all lovey-dovey, kissy-kissy. Sometimes the days are long, and our tempers are short. Times get tough. And the devil's sitting on your shoulder saying, now, you know, there's an easy way out of this. All you have to do is walk away. You're not committed now. There's probably someone better waiting for you down the road. Isn't that the lie of the devil? Yes, it is. And the society in which we live does not want to work through things anymore. We have these crumbling throwaway marriages. Well, if it doesn't work, just throw it away and do it again. Hey, that's not God's way. That's not God's way. As a man, you ought to fight for your family. You ought to fight for your home. You ought to suit up in the whole armor of God and say, by the grace of God, you're not getting my family, devil. You're not going to wreck my marriage. By the grace of God, you're not going to wreck it. And you ladies ought to do the same. You have to work and fight. This thing, listen, we have watched so much television, we have watched so many movies that everything has a happy ending and everything's just so ta-da and this and that and bubbles and happiness and hey, all that stuff. Listen, that's not real. Marriage takes work, hard work. You have to work through some things, sort through your problems, fess up to your sin, say I was wrong. That's right, I was wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Well, I'm not going to do it, preacher. Well, you're going to mess up. I'm here as someone who cares and loves you, and I don't want to see your family mess up, but I'm telling you, this stage right here is where a lot of marriages fail. I will guarantee you those in the endearment stage will make it to the adjustment stage. But not everyone makes it from the adjustment stage into this final stage I'm going to give you as I close here. You've got to make some adjustments. Your marriage can't stay in the garden the whole time. Those days are gone. There's thorns and thistles out there in the real world. You listening? You got to work on some things. You got to realize that she's not perfect. You got to realize he's not perfect. You got to realize you're not perfect, right? And you have to say, you know what? We're going to work this out by the grace of God. As God is our helper, we're going to work through these things. And that's what Adam and Eve did. God was there with them every step of the way. Yes, God did put them out of the garden. Yes, he did. But I'll tell you what he did in chapter number 3 and verse number 21. He made some coats of skin to clothe them. God was there to help them. God was there to see them through this tough time. God will be there to see you through your adjustment time too if you allow him to. Now listen to me. I know some of you is going through some hard times. And if you're not now, you're going to. It just happens to us. It just happens to us. I mean, things can be going good for just so long, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seems like a big storm comes and just, my goodness, just blindsides us. And we have to get back to this place where we realize that God is our helper. And God will be there for us and with us to see us through this difficult time called the adjustment stage in the marriage. And that leads us to the final stage. The final stage. I call this the commitment stage. So we began in the endearment stage. Remember those days? I can still see my wife as she was coming down the aisle in her wedding dress. Wow. Remember those days, men? Wow. God's been good to my wife and I. Very good. We have a great marriage, but it hasn't been without its trouble. I want you to know that. So we already knew that. Well, good. I'm confirming it for you. All right? Every marriage has trouble. Every marriage has trouble. But God will be our helper. And He's been there and He's helped us to maintain a sweet spirit. And when we have our crosswords and we have things that don't go the way that God would have them to be, or one of us would have them to be, maybe both of us, then God has taught us from the Scripture that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You get that thing under the blood and you just tell her, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Or you tell him, I'm sorry. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And you get that thing settled. It's important. It's really important. Things will fester if you don't now. They will. And the devil will get involved, and oh my, how things will begin to get out of hand and out of control. Same way with your children. It's very important. Very important. I want to take just a moment before I move to this final stage and really encourage you, spend time with your family. Now, some of you serve God in the church, and I'm glad that you serve God in the church. I am. As a matter of fact, I think that it's really important if you want your children to serve God in the church, you serve God in the church. Yeah, I think we're living in an age where we think we can just tell children to do things and it's going to be okay. There's something better than telling your children to do things. Show them. Show them. Serve God in the church. Your children will see you serve God and say, you know, that God that my dad loves, he's worth serving. He must be. My dad serves him. That God that my mom says she loves, he must be worth serving. She serves him. That church down there that they go to, that they say they love, they must really, really love that church, because they're always uplifting and fellowshipping and talking about the goodness of the folks of the church. It's important for your children to hear these things. Your children's going to hear enough negativity without you and I. Amen, folks? Absolutely. So this adjustment stage now is a very trying time. It's a very testing time. Very testing. You have to make some adjustments. I think a lot of people go into marriage with these preconceived ideas of how it's going to be, and when things don't go that way, they kind of get rattled, and they just think, boy, they kind of tighten down. They say, I'm not going to budge. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Just because you move a little bit off the spot, that doesn't mean you're a compromiser. It may be that God's growing you. You know, you have to move off the spot to grow, too. That's right. So remember that. Finally, the commitment stage. Turn to chapter 4, and this is where we'll close. Chapter 4, you know what happened. Adam and Eve had a child. They thought he was the deliverer, Cain. And then they had another one, Abel. And you know what happened. And that'd be hard for me to understand this. I've never had it happen in this way. Now, Sharon's had 3 miscarriages. And so we have 3 children in heaven waiting on us. And perhaps I know some of the ladies here have had miscarriages. I don't know what it'd be like to lose a child after them being born into this world and you getting attached to it. And I don't know. And then you have this situation where you have 2 children and you get the news one day that one of your children killed the other. Now, there's a lot of things that can rattle you home. Okay, today you can get a phone call that could really shake some things up in your household. But could you imagine what happened when Adam and Eve got the news that their eldest killed their youngest? They lost both of the boys in one swing of a fist, a rock, whatever. Lost them both. One to the cemetery and one as a fugitive. What a terrible thing to happen to a family. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the shock that it sent through them? Here they were just getting through the adjustment period. Had come out of the endearment and they had fought through some things, and seemed like they were on the backside of the adjustment, adjusting through some things. God had clothed them. They had restored that fellowship with God, and it seemed like their marriage was back on track, right? And then this happens. What do you do? Well, Adam and Eve had made up their mind. We're not going to quit on each other. I'll never forget the day I got married. I was young. I did not know really what I was doing. I mean, I knew I was marrying a beautiful woman. I can tell you that. That was about it. I mean, that was about the end of it. And I knew there was some things involved, some responsibilities. And I understood some things, but I didn't understand the full gist of it. You know, like I said this morning, when I got saved, I got into something big. When I got married, I got into something big too. I didn't realize all of it. But I tell you, it don't take long to dawn on you. Amen? It doesn't. It doesn't take long to hit you. I remember my pastor calling me over to the side. He knew. See, he knew. He was coaching me right along. And he helped me out. And he kind of called me over to the side and was telling me some things. Now, Dale, you know, just do this, just do that. He was coaching me. And I'm thankful for that. Looking back on it, I'm just grateful for a man who would take the time to. He saw that boy right there is going to need some help. And I'm glad he gave it. Some good advice. And I got to tell you now, God is my witness. I took a lot of it. I did. And it made me a better man, young man, because of it. So here's Adam and Eve. They get a strong blow. What are you going to do when your home hits a strong blow? I mean, they got the strong blow. I want you to look down with me. I want you to look in verse number 25. Verse 25, if you just read it, it just sounds like, oh, well, you know, big deal. But I think it says a lot here. Verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again. They made a commitment. We're moving forward. Amen. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. See, I thank God for people who do not allow the circumstances of life, who do not allow the temptations, the trials, the storms to cause them to crumble. Yes, they may bring you to your knees, but they're not going to cause you to quit. Adam and Eve said, we're moving on. They made a commitment. This is what I call the commitment stage. They went from the endearment stage to the adjustment stage, and I mean, they got hit hard. But they were committed to one another. That pastor I was telling you about earlier, before he married my wife and I, he got me and the best man together in the room, and he said, now, Dale, I want you to do something. He said, when you walk in your home for the first time as a married man, he said, I want you to go lock the back door. I had no clue what he was talking about. What he was saying to me is, don't you look for a way out. There's going to come some hard times and some tough times. But you lock that back door, and don't you ever open that back door. You're in, stay in. Amen. You have to fight through some things. You have to weather some storms. You have to stand through some things and stand together. And that's what Adam and Eve did. That's what you and I need to do too. When the tough times come, we need to just say, you know what? I'm committed to you, honey. I'm committed. And we're going to get through this together. And the Bible says in verse number 25, let's read it again as we close. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. It's going to be okay. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. She still remembered her boys. It's hard. But God is at work. God, she said, is still at work in our home and our marriage. And God will see us through this. And God will see you through some things too. And God will see me through some things if we will allow Him to. But there has to be some commitment. Commitment is something that's missing in our society today. There's just not much commitment. Thank God for people who will commit. What about you? You committed? I believe you are. Now the devil doesn't want you to be. Let's stand to our feet. The devil doesn't want you to be committed to anything or anyone. He wants you to just listen. He wants you just to bop around and float around and fly around with every wind of doctrine and every breeze that comes along. He wants to take you from here to yonder. But thank God for people that will plant their feet and say, I shall not be moved. I am going to stand. Amen. Going to be steadfast by the grace of God, unmovable. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to stick by my family. In a day when people are just, listen, when they're just running away from the problems, from their family, from their children, turning their back. The devil would have me to do it. He'd have you to do it. He will. You say, oh, preacher, it won't happen to me. Now, you be careful about that kind of stuff now. Oh, yes, it can happen to you. Yes, it can. I believe if we could have interviewed Adam and Eve and the situation in which they were in, they were just so happy, had them two boys, they were making some adjustments and doing fine, and asking them, how's this thing going to wind up? They'd have told you, they would have never said that. I think in a short order here, one of our sons is going to kill the other. We never know what a day may bring forth. But we know that God is in that day with us, and He'll help us. All right, let's bow our heads together.